The Jared Dillian Show.
I'm Jared Dillian. This is the Jared Dillian Show. If you want to call to talk about your money, please call 844-305-7800. That's 844-305-7800. This is the Jared Dillian Show. So, when I was in high school, I actually put this in my yearbook. On my yearbook page, I said, senior year, I said I wanted to join the Coast Guard and do 20 years and retire and get a pension. That was my ambition when I was 18 years old, was to work until I was 38 and get a pension, which I guess is, you know, sounds attractive when you're 18. How much is the pension, by the way? You know, it's funny because, all right, so if you become an officer in the Coast Guard and you do 20 years, you'll be a commander when you get out. You'll be an O5. You'll probably be making about $100,000 a year. So you get about half of what you make when you retire. So maybe $50,000 a year. $50,000 a year. You can retire at age 42 and get $50,000 for the rest of your life. Now, like I said, when I was 18, I thought that was a pretty good deal. $50,000 sounded like a lot of money, and it kind of takes the pressure off. I mean, you still probably got to get a job, but you're not in any hurry, and you don't have to get any kind of high-paying job. You can just do whatever you want, and life is easy. You know, you won't. Let me put it this way: you'll never starve. You'll never starve. And then, you know, not only that, you can retire at age 42. Then you can get Social Security at age 62, and maybe you get some disability from the military, which is, that's a whole other thing, by the way. I don't know if there's anybody from the military listening. The disability thing is a huge scam. It's a huge scam. It costs the government billions of dollars a year. You know, when I had my exit physical from the Coast Guard, I was 27. I was in the best shape of my life. I was in top physical condition. So they did this physical, they did the hearing, they did the eyesight, they did the labs, they did everything. And there was nothing wrong with me. So at the end of it, the doc, you know, who's like a public health service guy, he's like a lieutenant commander or something. He says, "Is there anything else you want to tell me?" And I'm like, "Why?" He's like, "Is there anything else you want to tell me?" And I'm like, "Why?" He's like, "Well," and he says, "I just want to commend you for being honest." That's what he said. "I want to commend you for being honest." And I'm like, I don't understand what's going on here. So apparently what he was talking about was people go into their exit physicals and they're like, "Oh, my knee. Oh, my shoulder. Oh, I got diabetes. Oh, I got this." And they get like 80% disability and they get thousands of dollars a month for the rest of their life. You know, very good friend of mine who's going to be in the studio tomorrow, found out he was type 1 diabetic when he was in the Coast Guard. And type 1, not type 2, type 1. And he gets a bunch of disability for that. And, you know, pretty much anything that happens to you while you're in the service, they call it service connected. It's a service connected disability. I mean, you might say, well, the Coast Guard didn't cause him to get type 1 diabetes. That's just totally genetic. But, you know, from the VA's standpoint, that's a service-connected disability. And anyway, so I got 0% disability, and I don't get a check for that. That is a big tangent for no reason. Retiring at age 42 is a pretty amazing deal, making $50,000 for the rest of your life with cost of living increases. A lot of people would kill for that. And if you took the NPV of that, if you took the net present value, probably comes out to like a couple of million bucks, you know? So I decided pretty early on that's not what I wanted. I didn't want the safe thing. I wanted the uncertain thing. I didn't want the certain thing. I wanted the uncertain thing. I wanted to take a risk and try to make even more money. Okay. So let's play a game. I'm going to play a game with you. We're going to flip a coin. Okay. If the coin comes up heads, I pay you $10,000. If the coin comes up tails, I pay you zero. Heads, you win 10,000. Tails, you win zero. Or I can pay you right now. I can just give you $3,000 in cash not to play this game. What do you think most people will do? They'll just take the $3,000, right? Because there's a 50-50 chance they're going to get zero. They would, you know, and by the way, the math behind this is all screwed up because the expected value of that coin flip is $5,000. So by taking $3,000, it's basically a bad decision. You're doing something suboptimal. You shouldn't take the $3,000. But if you ask a bunch of people that question, they'll take the $3,000 because $3,000 buys some pretty cool stuff. Okay. The certainty equivalent. All right. So what if we change it up a little bit? What if we said, all right, instead of $3,000, we'll pay you $2,000 or $1,000. Then what? Who's going to take it then? The $3,000 payment to walk away is called the certainty equivalent. That's the amount of money it takes to get you to walk away from playing the game, right? So this is basically the exact same scenario that I had, right? So choice number one, I stay in the Coast Guard for 20 years and I get $50,000 a year until I die. That's the certainty equivalent. Choice number two is I go to Wall Street and who knows what happens, right? Maybe I get laid off after 6 months. That would be a zero, okay? Or maybe I have a long productive career and I make millions of dollars. That's also a possibility, but it is uncertain, okay? And so this is a test of risk aversion. How risk averse are you, okay? It's also a test of your beliefs in your ability to make more money. So people who have pensions have the certainty equivalent. They're giving away the upside for a sure thing. Now, this is all part of a branch of mathematics called decision theory. I took a class on decision theory in grad school. Professor was super weird. I guess he was a nice guy. I got an A in the class. People who take the sure thing are called risk averse, okay? People who gamble are called risk seeking. So I guess you could say that I was risk seeking, okay? But there was more to it than just the money, though, because, I mean, there was a whole bunch of other factors. Like I wasn't really a good fit in the Coast Guard, and I really, really love finance, and there was just more to it than that, okay? Back to Jeff Bezos. We talked about Jeff Bezos earlier in the show. There was an interview with him. This was back in the late 90s. And they asked why he started Amazon. Because he already had a great job. He was working in a hedge fund. The hedge fund was called D.E. Shaw, which is a quantitative hedge fund. And, you know, in his 20s, he was probably making $500,000 a year. If he stayed on, he probably would have been making a couple million dollars a year. It was a very good career. I mean, it was a great job. So why would you give up that great job and start Amazon? And what he said was, he said if he didn't start Amazon, he would regret it for the rest of his life. Okay. And that's what's called the regret minimization framework. And I felt the same way. If I stayed in the Coast Guard and if I didn't go to Wall Street, then I would regret it for the rest of my life. Okay. So let's say you have the certainty equivalent. You have a steady job that is going to give you a steady pension. But there are things that you want to do. And you know that at the end, you will regret not doing them. So this I can't imagine. But, you know, I can't imagine being 80 years old and regretting not having tried something in your life. That would be the worst thing in the world. And I've told the story about me going to grad school before. I'm getting an MFA in creative writing. And I got a class that's kicking my butt right now. But yeah, if that was something I wanted to do when I was 22 years old, and at age, what year did I start? Age 46, I guess. If I passed at age 46, I would regret it for the rest of my life. Regret minimization. So it all depends on how you are wired. Some people are very risk averse. Some people would never take the risk. Other people are gamblers. Okay. Now, there's another part to the coin flip game. And by the way, the coin flip game, You know who talks about this is Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky. Daniel Kahneman, you probably heard of before. He's pretty much the father of behavioral finance. He got a Nobel Prize. He's written a couple of books. So let's say you have a choice between a coin toss where you can make zero or lose $10,000. So if it comes up heads, you make zero. If it comes up tails, you lose $10,000. Or you can lose a certain $3,000. You cannot play this game if you pay $3,000. Well, in this situation, people are going to flip the coin because they don't want to lose a certain $3,000. But that makes no sense either. You should play the game because the expected value of the coin toss is negative $5,000. This is called loss aversion. People would rather take a certain gain and experience an uncertain loss. And this is why human beings, from an evolutionary standpoint, are terrible investors. They cut their winners short and they let their losers ride, which is the opposite of what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to cut your losers short and let your winners ride. So what you're doing, job, you're cutting your winners short. Besides, taking risk is fun. Who knows what will happen? It's exhilarating. If you're going to gamble on anything, you want to gamble on yourself. Bet on yourself. Do the thing that you've always wanted to do, or you're going to regret it. I'm Jared Dillian. This is The Jared Dillian Show.
The Jared Dillian Show.